Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful November 17th day, 2018. And we're going to be looking at what the meaning of life is. What is this meaning that we're supposed to have for our life? And can it even be had? Can a person have this kind of meaning? Well, we're going to take a look at it. I want to remind you, you know, I have to do this all the time because very few of you ever give. We need your financial support to maintain our radio program, just to sit here and for me to be able to be with you, to share with you all of this is very, very important. And I can't be done without your donations. It is only through your tax-deductible gifts that we're able to maintain or make Aspire happen. So I am hoping that you will look at Aspire from the point of view of how it helps and serves humankind and maybe make a donation or become a sponsor. That would be really relative to our needs right now. We're trying to maintain our program and to give it some sense of, value to you. I do everything I can. Your donations go very far. They really do. They not only go into the whole idea of how I do radio and TV, but they also serve humankind through hospice and my hospital work. I spend time there. This is valuable time that I spend helping people who are helpless. They have great difficulties in their life, great tragedies that have happened to them. And, you know, no one really cares about them. They really don't, unless you care. Now, when you care, something of the other shore begins to click. And that's really what it's all about. So I am hoping that you become a sponsor, that you take the time to see how important sponsorship is and what it means to be a sponsor. Sponsors are those people who make quarterly and monthly donations to serve humankind. And it's very, very important. I can't emphasize this enough to you. So listen, make a donation, become a sponsor. Help me sustain my efforts to help humankind. I can only do it through you. And our mystery donor, who is very, very generous, will help us. He will match your donations. And that is something that is really wonderful of him. He will truly help you and help me and help humankind. And that's what he's all about, just serving people to the best of his ability. Make a donation today. Go to the website at aspire.org. And when you go there, you will see a great big splash things that make a year-end donation. I don't think you're going to be able to miss it. And make a donation. There's so much there for you on the Aspire website. Just all of that is made possible through donors. Okay? What is meaningful? What does the word meaningful mean? Are you a meaningful person? What does it take to be meaningful? That's interesting. And I think it's a very subjective term. So let's get into it. I have three interesting questions on the subject of it. The first one comes from Dottie in San Diego. And Dottie, I want to thank you for your kind comments. I want to thank you for everything you said about the TV program and the radio program. It was very kind of you. She asks, what is meaningful and what does the word actually mean? That's an interesting question because we always think we understand the questions that arise in us, you know? Always think I understand. But really, do I? The word meaningful is to come to a place somewhere within you where something beyond the ideals and ideas of right and wrong, good and bad, whatever, something that is important to you. Now, meaningful is a subjective word. It is not objective. Most people cannot be objective about it at all. They have to be subjective to it because they have their agenda, things that they want fulfilled, things that they think are deeply important to them. So as long as you and I are living in that kind of mentality where we are living in the ideas and the ideals of what it means to live in the way of the desire, ambition, and pride modality, we miss. We actually miss. Now that is truly important. That is really, really important to understand. And if you and I are going to change our lives, we have to find out what's important to us. So let me ask you this question. Dottie, what do you think is most important to you? Go from there. And I'm sure it's subjective about appeasing low self-esteem. Don't be embarrassed about it. Everybody has it. I have it. Everybody has some sense of low self-esteem. This is established within us when we were children. This was established within us in our biology, our psychology. We all inherited this from parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents and all that other stuff. So you got to ask yourself, do I want to live in that? Do I? Do I want to live in the clan of my clanmanship? Oh, forgive me. I amuse myself because I'm the only one that does. But that's what we have to ask ourselves. Am I going to stay stuck in my family heritage? And most people have this very lofty thought of what it means to live in the family. We think our families are most important because we think that's where we came from. We have no idea who we are, what we've done to ourselves, the meaning of ourselves upon the face of our own life. We don't even care about that. That is not something that rings bells in us at all. So we sit inside of ourselves, living in the accordance of our genealogy, our genetics. And this is a big deal because everybody wants to know now, where did I come from? What does it matter what pool you came from and whether you have this kind of genetic background or that kind of genetic? Who cares? Well, I'll tell you why. The people do it out of pride. They want to think that they come from nobility, aristocratic nobility. They want to think that they're better than any other. Well, I come from a blah, 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 and I come from higher blah, 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 than you. Oh, you just are that? Oh, that's too bad. We put a lot of emphasis on stupidity. And that kind of assumed meaning makes me very stupid. I won't be able to get along with anyone because I'll look at people looking down my nose or up my nose trying to, oh, I wish I were like you. It can also be a wonderful excuse, this genealogy stuff, Dottie, for acting and reacting the way we do and thinking that we're better than or lesser than. We all struggle with this kind of thing. The glass ceiling inside of us is our genetics. It is. The glass ceiling is my genetic nature. Period. End of statement. So anything I do through my genetic biology. How about going beyond genetic biology? How about going beyond the beyond? How about going into something more profound? How about entering into something like the achievement of a soul in us? That is not something that most of us care much about. It is assumed that we have a soul, every one of us. We don't. And I've met, and you have met, I am sure, some very soulless people. How would you know if a person had a soul? Well, you wouldn't, based on the criteria of our human biology, living from the biology, for the biology, for our genetics, for our heritage, for our bodies. The body can know very little, if anything, about anything other than itself. It's very narcissistic. But there you are. This is the way we live. This is how we live within ourselves. And we miss our entire life just priding ourselves on our pedigree. And in doing so, what have we achieved? Absolutely nothing. Nothing has been achieved. So, Dottie, you ask, what is meaningful? in this life? And what is the meaning of meaningful? It means you find that which you truly are. And that is love. That is a love that goes beyond the heritage thing and the lineage thing and moves into the state of our spiritual being. That is what it's all about. I hope that helps you. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. We live our whole life in the trivia of our body, in the mischief of our pathology, our mental, emotional pathology. We live our whole life there. Anything that, you know, we try to entertain, like the state of goodness or the state of love or achieving the soul, attaining to the soul, we just don't have any meaning for it. We have things that are meaningful to us, not the essence. So, you know, kind of take a look at it for yourself a little bit. What is meaningful to you? What is it that you find important and meaningful in your life? It's interesting. The next question from John. He does not tell me where he lives. Greg, I don't understand. My life is meaningless. Will meaning help me, John? Well, you know, this is kind of a strange question. You find your life meaningless and you want to find meaning and you wonder if that'll help you. I mean, that's kind of a paradox if you think about it, but let me try to offer you something. The reason our lives become meaningless is because we don't really mature. We make objects, people, and things the meaning of our life. When I was a little boy, I had a stuffed dog named How Much. And How Much was named after the song, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? I've always loved dogs. Always. Worship them, actually. And I live in Dogville. In where I live here in Carmel, there are nothing but dogs everywhere with their parents, their mommies and daddies. And it's really interesting. You can't go to a grocery store or take a walk down the street without it being a real dog show. And it is. We have two doggy department stores here in a small little town that we have. And vets are considered, you know, gods because they take care of our dogs. So I started this How Much thing even as a little boy, and here I am, you know, I'm in Dogville. Anyway, so this How Much, John, was very important to me. You know, I slept with him. I carried him around when I was a little guy, you know, and in college. No, and I loved this stuffed animal, and he was my everything. Because I was so odd and still am. So as time went on, of course, as I started to find that there were people with skin on that did certain things to you, some were good, some were bad, How Much became less and less meaningful to me. He became more and more a stuffed animal rather than the beliefs I had, a reflection of what was going on within me, an illusion and a delusion I had of him talking to me, which he really wasn't. It was me talking to me, but, you know, I always thought it was How Much when I was little. Once you find out that you're the one doing the talking, yada, 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 all of a sudden everything changes. And he wasn't as meaningful as he used to be. And I started to look at that and go, why has How Much not been so important to me? I kept him for many, many years, even after. And he was important because he was my voice. He was my voice in another way, and I found a meaning in that voice, but it was all illusion and delusion. I was delusional. Stuffed animals don't talk. And as I matured ever so slightly in my perceptions, I began to truly realize he couldn't talk. Therefore, he wasn't meaningful, blah, 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 blah. You get the picture. Meaning comes from a subjective point of view. How meaningful was how much to me when I was 2, 3, 4 years old, 5 years old? Very much. How important is he to me today? Well, he's only a sentimental relic because he doesn't really talk and he really is not a living thing. He is a representative of where I was and how I dealt with my childhood and all of the stuff that went on in there. So the meaning of him has now gone into a sense of reality. He is a stuffed animal. And this is what happens often with everything in our life. Meaning is subjective. How I use anything is meaningful. To do what, though? What am I doing? I am trying to appease myself through emotionality. I'm trying to appease my emotions by wanting adoration, by wanting affection, by wanting what I think of as love itself, which isn't love at all. That is what happens when we start to mature. We start to realize, I went from my pretend adoration friend to a one that has skin on it. And we all find those people in our life and in a grammar school and junior high and high school that are our friends, and they are camaraderies that we use to get affection, to think that affection is important. And that's how we live our life, in the desire for affection. That's all it's about. Now, if you take it further, what makes something valuable in your life? Again, this is subjective. People are always looking for something valuable. Women think that if they're essential, they're valuable. And men want to make women essential so they don't have to do the essentials. When I was young and people were looking for mates, you know, when you're in your teens and the chemistry is right and you're doing all of the mating dances that exist inside of you to find some man or woman, the meaning of your life is to find someone to love you. What was it Gracie Slick said? Can't you find someone to love? Don't you need someone to love? Don't you want someone to love? Great song. And there it is. That's the way we live for a long time until we find out that the people we love can't measure up to really what we want and what we truly need. And then we get cynical for a while, or maybe we just give up and we just succumb. Because who wants to tell their mate, you're not the meaning of my life? You've helped me through many things, maybe. Or made many things difficult, maybe, or a combination of both, maybe. Nothing is what we think it is. Everything's a mixed bag, so you can't get into that. And you start to look at what is meaningful to you, and some people actually mature into finding that which is meaningful, seeking what is truly meaningful outside the biology, outside the belief system, outside the society, and seek to find that which lives within you. I could see in my early 20s that people were not investments and they couldn't be trusted. And I realized that I couldn't depend upon them to give me adoration. And if I wanted adoration, then I would have to never find the state of my heart, which is the most essential thing in life. So, John, if you're going to find meaning, you won't find it in people, objects, and things. The only way you'll find it is how it lives within you. And I sincerely hope you find that. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. My family and stuff is my meaning. Carrie, is this good? Carrie, it is a phase you are going through. I'm not going to say it's good. I'm not going to say it's bad. It is a long way around. It's like getting to New York via going to Japan and around that way. It's a long, long haul. Whatever we do to find meaning in our life, if we do it through the carcass, our body, our brain, our psychology, it's going to be a very long and arduous trip. I guarantee it 100%. But if you can get beyond the beyond here, and you can find substance and meaning in the attributes of an authentic spiritual practice, where you are delving into consciousness rather than conscience, where you are moving into meditation rather than contemplation, where you are going beyond the fixations and obsessions of the body and seeking to attain to the soul, then you have something very meaningful. Then you have something specifically meaningful, something magnificent, something you can take with you through death. Very few people live to have something they can take with them through death. Very, very precious few. And that's why the world is the way it is. There are consequences for everything that we do, everything that we become, everything that we are. All of us have it. I have it. You have it. Anybody who's ever touched this planet has it, including the masters. So you have to understand, it is important to let your body run the gamut of its life while you live in the infinite that is the life. And if you can practice this, if you can find the meaning of this as I have just explained it to you, then you're going to find that the stuff and the family, well, they belong to the meaning of your body, and that's it. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You can awaken being in a family. You can. You just can't be awakening through the family. And that's the difficulty, because most people pride themselves on their genetics more than they pride themselves on the search for something outside the genetics. You got to really drop pride. That was poorly said by me, but you get what I mean. The whole idea of awakening, spiritual awakening, is not something that is a prideful thing. It is something that occurs through compassion and love, through silence, through simplicity. You find a great deal of goodness. If you can get simple and become simple, and then enter into that very still, small place within you where love resides, where you live alone deep inside you, and you find out what that is, that stillness, that state of deep lone living, as I call it. And then you will find the silence. And that is one of the most important attributes of life, knowing silence. If you know those things, you will know your life, and you will have great meaning in your living. May that serve you well, Carrie. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, we're out of here. I hope this helped you. I really do. Simplicity, solitude, and silence, they're very important things. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Hope you'll join. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.